Mom's the word when it comes down to understanding where Google is going in the future. Who best to guide us than the Gandalf of SEO, Bill Slosky, today on The Edge. Go!
Your weekly digital marketing trends with industry trend-setting guests. Powered by your digital marketing pioneers, Site Strategics. This week's featured guest is Bill Slosky, Director of SEO Research at GoFish Digital. Now, here's your host, Aaron Sparks.
This is Edge of the Web. I'm your host, Aaron Sparks. Every week, we bring you amazing guests to chat about digital marketing news. We unpack a key marketing concept for our digital marketing audience. So whether you're a part of an agency or a freelancer or part of a marketing firm, this show is for you. Be sure to check out all the recent shows over at edgeofthewebradio.com. Edge of the Web is actually brought to you by Site Strategics, the title sponsor of our show, pioneers in the agile digital marketing. Our core specialties are SEO, technical SEO, SEM, social media management, conversion rate optimization, and omni-channel marketing, agile marketing that actually is results-based marketing that works. So if you're interested in what we can do for you, give us a call at 877-SEO for web, or I'll break it down because nobody wants to do the vanity number, 877-736-4932. Want to make sure you check out some of the recent shows of Edge of the Web. Make sure you check out the Andrew Optimize, Pedro Diaz, and Carolyn Leiden, as well as the Mark Traphagen shows as of late. Had some great times with them. And if you're interested in being part of the show, simply drop us a line over at info@edgeofthewebradio.com. Make sure you set your reminders on YouTube to get notified when we drop our videos, as a number of other things inside the YouTube channel. Make sure you check out our weekly news podcast covering the most recent digital marketing news topics and Google updates. We're dropping it every Tuesday to help you navigate your digital marketing week. So we're continuing to have our guest host along with us for the ride. That's Morty Oberstein. So that's the entire housekeeping of the show. Let's meet this week's industry expert guest. He's worked as a solo consultant and agency SEO. Presently, he's actually director of SEO research over GoFish Digital. He's been actually involved in internet marketing and web promotions since 1996. He's written over 1,000 posts on his site, SEO by the Sea, and more on the GoFish blog about search patents and papers from search engines. He's worked with a wide range of sites from nonprofits to Fortune 500, and he's also known for his research relating to patent filings of search engines. Predominantly Google. Bill's experience includes Fortune 500 brands and some of the most largest websites in the world. He's also a contributing author to Moz, Search Engine Land, Search Engine Journal. Over the last 7 years, he's spoken at a number of different industry-leading conferences about topics including search engine algorithms, universal and blended search, personalization and search, structured data, schema, social, duplicate content, and all things technical SEO. I'm just going to wrap it up in that space from now on. And there's too many things to actually mention. This is Bill's third time on the show. I wanted to bring him on to help us continue our education into the new horizon of machine learning, natural language processing, the realm of entities, as well as BERT and MUM. So thanks again for joining us on the second segment of our interview, sir.
Thank you. I do spend a lot of time searching too.
I think we all do nowadays, but you search for something unique to most of us. You're looking for patents as well as authors of patents. You are basically, you're panning for gold, almost like in scientific journals. This is where Bill basically spends his time.
So if I read a patent, I'd say, okay, who are the authors?
Right.
Let me look them up. Let me look in LinkedIn and see where they worked at Google.
Right.
Let me see what else they've done.
You're tracking their career path as well, yeah.
So I looked up one guy named James Hoag, who went on from Google to Foursquare.
Okay.
And he was in charge of something. I searched for him. I found his resume. And that gave lots of details of the things that he'd done. And one of those was he was in charge of a project at Google called the Annotation Network, which meant he supervised a number of search engineers who were writing patents about the semantic web.
Mm-hmm.
And local search. And he was also responsible for the acquisition of MetaWeb and Freebase.
Huh.
Because you not only do the research, but you also hire people who do that work too. So if your research doesn't turn out, you can use theirs. It's a clever approach.
Capitalism is everywhere, right?
Right.
So one could say I'm intending this pun completely. You're actually tracking down the entities of the patent submitters and their relationship contextually to the rest of the search engineering world, right?
Because you can understand how things are related better.
There we go. See, I told everybody that your search patterns are a little bit different than most. All right. And we did cover a lot of kind of basic ground in our first segment of understanding ontological taxonomy, entity relationships, and natural language processing. Now I want to pull us around to understanding BERT. And first and foremost, we've been in the BERT world for about 3 years, if I'm not mistaken, as Google defines it, or at least publicly. But we've been in this space for a very long time before that, right?
It does go back all the way to latent semantic indexing in the early 80s, before there was a search web. But yeah, it's a matter of creating a language model. And for a while, Google was using something called ngrams, where they were learning about language in content based upon how many words long or how many syllables long they were. Mm-hmm. So a 3-gram or a 4-gram would have 3 words or 4 words. And they would grab all the 3-word combinations off a page or all the 4-word combinations off a page and run statistics on them to see what type of punctuation they had, what type of words were collected together, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And they would do things like determine site quality based upon these n-grams. They would compare the IRS to some carburetor site,
right,
and try to see which they thought was a better written site based upon these n-grams, and a language statistical language model based on those n-grams.
So that's where, as SEOs, we were writing long tail phrases, long tail concepts. That's our iteration of the n-grams, is to be able to actually connect the dots with not only these root highly trafficked terms, but also these long tail matching connections to n-grams, right?
So this language model concept, they went on to say, okay, we're going to look for these co-occurring words, and we're going to look for parts of speech. We're going to have these language models actually do the training on these content pieces so that we don't have to identify all the entities and then tell and write out whether things are subject, verbs, nouns, pronouns, adverbs, adjectives.
Mm-hmm.
We can have a computer program do that for us.
So BERT stands for Bidirectional Encoder Representations from Transformers. Now, for everybody playing at home, right, that's probably so Greek that it's like lorem ipsum. But what we're talking about here are the adverbs and the verbs acting upon the nouns to be able to understand the relationship of not only the nouns, but what the intent is of the user, right?
So that statement I came at before, you should know a word by the company it keeps,
yep,
applies here. Because it tells us that if certain phrases, certain words appear in a language model, other words are appearing near it. So when someone searches for New York Times puzzle, they probably mean a specific type of puzzle. And if you do a search on Google right now for New York Times puzzle, you'll see references to crossword puzzles.
But this is not proximity. This is not proximity. Forgive me for interrupting. I'm sorry. This is not proximity. This is existence on a page, existence in paragraphs, existence on different pages. That's the proximity that's actually moving from center mass now, right?
Right. Every time you see somebody mention a New York Times puzzle somewhere, anywhere, it's usually a crossword puzzle.
Right.
It's usually those words co-occur near each other. So they're rewriting that query to say they mean a crossword puzzle. Let's add the word crossword.
So this represents a reference to this deep neural network concept that we're starting to form in our minds, which is already the map that Google has. It's the relationships, but it's also, these are the activating factors of connection.
So we think about real world objects. In our heads, they're filled with entities. We know about people, places, we know facts related to things.
Right.
We know these connections between things. We know the relationships and the taxonomies and the ontologies, mm-hmm, because it's what our heads contain. So they build a language model that contains those things too. And it can take content that somebody writes and say, okay, these are things they've written about this topic. They left out this and this and this, mm-hmm, but we've found that in other documents that are on the same thing.
But BERT was the stepping stone to understanding intent more than any other recent algorithm. because you're actually understanding these action items that are the in between the nouns or the proper subjects. And now Google's actually moving towards understanding so much more about what you're really looking for and how you want to use it.
The same word appears lots of times because words that have the same meaning that are spelled the same, polysemous words, it's about 40% of all words mean more than one thing. So if you're looking at a large corpus, a large body of words, you're going to see the same word over and over again, but you're going to see it in different contexts.
And that bears repeating. 40% of our language has multiple meanings and a good deal more than just two. So that's the intent that we're talking about. That's the breakdown in the relationship. And keep on going. I just wanted to make sure our listeners understood that.
I think that was an important point to bring out. So, yeah, you know, snow means the same thing in Sweden and Alaska, but it means something very different in Alabama.
All right. So this is how we're beginning to understand intent and understand the differences of the entities. Now, let's get our audience to understand MUM. Right, the multitask unified model. I'm gonna open it up for you. Give us an understanding of how MUM, because we're kind of progressional here. We talked about all these different pieces in the first episode. We've gone through the BERT car on this train. Now MUM's the word. I had to say it because you know there's the pump.
So I saw an example of MUM this week. Mm-hmm. There was a researcher for Google called Zin Luna Dong, who worked on structured language for Google. And she worked in the department where she was working on things like the knowledge graph and knowledge base and trustworthiness. She left Google to join Amazon. And Amazon is a big seller of products, right? And they decided, we don't just want a knowledge graph, we want a product graph. Hmm. So we want all this information collected about all the products we sell and all the products that everybody sells. So we don't just want to collect relationship information about those products. We want to understand things like GTINs, the identifiers related to those products. We want to be able to put pictures with words. We want to build a multimodal model.
There you go. So all sorts of mediums. If you're talking text, if you're talking visual, video, what have you, they all have this interrelationship, right?
Not only just the different things other than language and pictures and so on. They want to understand formats. They want to understand the way a page might be formatted differently based upon what the page might be about.
Unpack that for me.
You go to Zappos site, you see lots of pictures of shoes.
Right.
You see them in a certain format. Like you go to a page, there might be tabs, there might be stuff like that. They'll tell you about sizes. They'll break down to men's shoes, women's shoes, and so on. But the idea is to give you a sense of how these things might be displayed best.
Got it.
So things like shoes, you tend to show shoes from at least two different perspectives.
Understood. So now they're actually gravitating around how often formats actually support a particular concept, format of pages and the mediums themselves, right?
Right.
Okay, understood. Okay, so we've got this MUM, this unified model of understanding that a particular subject or entity may have a different pattern of formats about this product. So it's no longer the entities and what actually, it's almost like triangulation. You're trying to figure out what this thing is by like a 20 question game, right?
Yeah.
And now you're actually looking at what mediums and format actually constitute a real understanding of that. And the mashup that Google's going to be doing here is as you search, you'll be seeing different formats of results as opposed to 10 blue links.
And they're trying to get information from the best sources they possibly can and for the right reasons. So we had another patent that was about understanding, searching for quotes. And Google, at one point in time, the very first version of that patent said, we'll search for quotes in knowledge bases. And they updated the patent. They referred to it as a continuation patent, where they changed the claims. And the third version of the patent said, we're not going to, it didn't say we're not going to search in mouse bases anymore. It said we're going to search in videos for those quotes. And they didn't explain the one of the reasons. And one of the reasons is when people search for a quote, they usually know who the speaker is and they know what it's about. They just want to see the person saying that, or they want to show someone else the person saying that.
All right. So let me ask you this as a sidebar about this. Hey, you're talking about a particular slice in time of how a product is represented, both in format and relationship to entities. Is mom going to be the space in the space where it evolves over time? Because what we're talking about is how we searched 20 years ago, how we searched 10 years ago is wholly different based on the content that we're navigating. Are we going to be in this fluid environment where it's almost like a self-serving scenario, is that we'll want to see different formats, search on different formats, and mom will actually then match up that intent to the different format and different mediums? Are we now on a roller coaster ride with Google to be able to change how we search, change not only our intent, but also the formats in which we want to actually get that feedback? Or did I just go off the rails?
It's sort of like when you search for pizza and Google knows you don't want a page about the history of pizza.
Right.
You don't want a list of recipes on how to make pizza.
Yep.
You want a phone number for a place you can call to bring you pizza so you can eat lunch. They understand the intent.
He made it much more simple than I did.
So, search engine's job is very simple. They're filling either the informational or situational needs of a searcher.
Right.
And in that case, with delivering you a slice of pizza, Google's acting as a vehicle to get you fed.
And based on that, based on the traction of the click-throughs and the on top of that, the order transactions, because Google's certainly listening to that space as well, it now knows that it gave you what you're intending. So now it's an affirmation model, right? That we got them there. This is what they wanted. Mom is no longer going to be answering questions in different context, but it's also going to be literally changing how users inquire and being reinforced by user behavior.
And like the rest of BERT, it's going to know when you're missing words in your query. It's going to know maybe what you left out. One of the earliest versions of Hummingbird was they gave an example of a query that was rewritten by Hummingbird. And it was, can you tell me about a place that serves good lasagna? And the idea is that the word place was being substituted by the word restaurant. So the person searching using that query was looking for a restaurant, a recommendation for a restaurant.
Got it.
And they were rewriting the query using Hummingbird to find restaurants.
All right. So for all of our audience, we want to make sure we give them a break here, because we're deep in it and we're understanding that there's a lot longer highway to go down, and we're certainly seeing right now the machine learning and the active learning based on user behavior now. So this is where we are, folks. And if you don't have an SEO strategy that's actually connecting the dots for these entities and understanding that, you know what, you want to feed up certain types of format if you're trying to get ranked. If you're providing e-com for shoes, you better be able to follow suit on how Google's understanding the format needed to make decisions on shoes. And unless you're paying attention to those things, you're going to move yourself away from true legitimacy of ranking value. So it's no longer a keyword, it's no longer a search phrase, it's an entity and serving up the format that the users want. Just to summarize where we've been so far.
Well, we are fortunate.
Absolutely.
We are fortunate in that machine learning works on the basis of taking some of these older concepts, like information retrieval concepts,
right?
Certain words in titles, in headings, the keywords that maybe potentially get used. And when they show search results, they're showing those search results based upon the probability that somebody might click on one of those. But they're basing it on those information retrieval concepts that we learned about earlier.
And way back when, and this is a great segue to the paper that you wrote back in 2013, and that was regarding the Wavy acquisition, and it had to do with the open domain language understanding. So unpack that before we finish up there.
Okay. So I like looking at the acquisitions because it gives you a sense. I mentioned MetaWeb, and the guy worked on the annotation network, and right. was also in charge of the M&A for MetaWeb and Freebase, because if you can't develop the technology, you buy it and you come out with it that way. So in 2013, Google acquired a company called Wavy. Wavy was a product of a artificial intelligence engineer from University of Washington called Oren Etzioni, who now works for Paul Allen out of Seattle, and they're doing artificial intelligence. They're the Artificial Intelligence Institute, mm-hmm. and he did a few other startups, but Wavy was following a process called open domain information extraction. Mm-hmm. And it said, okay, if you took a Google bot, instead of searching for all the pages and redirects and stuff like that, it started reading all the words, and it no longer focused upon a focus crawl of the web to find certain information about certain types of things, but read everything and collected in all the information about everything, sorted it, and organized it, and made it findable again. That's the idea behind a language model could do.
Absolutely. And this is back in 2013. You certainly were seeing this way before that, but this was the pattern that you were seeing. And again,
There are reflections of that that go back in time further. Yeah. You can go back to 2007 with object-oriented learning at Microsoft Asia mm-hmm. Research. And they were working on, it wasn't even called Bing yet, it was called MSN.
Yep.
And there was MSN product search that was based upon these entities and finding attributes for products. And they let you search for them. Or they had a scholar-based search where they collected patterns about names of papers, authors, publishers, so on, and collected all that information and built a search database out of those. And they were referring to it as object-oriented because they weren't using the word entities. Mm-hmm. They were calling them objects.
So this couples with key concepts like brand SERP, like Jason Benard talks about, and all the different vertical knowledge points that are supporting a particular key industry, and the EAT, the expertise, authority, and trust factor when it comes down to citable resources in niche as well as large industries. There's different groups, different references that need to be mined and be able to be leveraged to be able to explore and be able to give yourself juice in that space. So we're seeing these patterns happening across all these different spectrums in local as well as expertise type of optimization. So this backs everything. This is what you've been looking at.
So this sort of begs the question, what does a search engine do? And what a search engine does at this point is it's no longer just an index of the web. It answers questions.
Right.
And people, when they come out with a query, they don't want a list of 10 blue links. You can do a query, what are restaurants in New York City? And you'll get a list of links to restaurants in New York City. You can ask the same question in a slightly different way and say, what are the best restaurants in New York City? And you're not expecting a list of links. Now you're expecting a statement, a paragraph saying you should go here. This has this type of food that you like a lot.
So it's trying to solve problems at the same time, not only understanding what you're needing and answering your question, but also predicting what your next steps are to be able to give you as much value out of that interaction as possible, right?
Right. It's trying to fulfill your situational informational needs.
Wow.
Same purpose, yep. simple purpose, doing it slightly differently.
This is where we are, folks. This is what we have to answer. And Bill, how do you help guide SEOs? It can seem like a insurmountable task to be able to feed Google this information, to be able to to create such value. So what kind of guidance do you give SEOs in this is undiscovered country, although Google's been there and planted a few flags for a long time. How do we navigate these new waters?
Help people understand what their website's doing, what its purpose is, how it reaches people, what they're looking for on the site, what makes them act the most. Whether it's a limo site and people aren't used to taking limos, but you're showing them how easy it is to take a limo, to declare a personal holiday or some type of gathering or get together or event using a limo.
Got it.
And make it easier for them to rent and take one somewhere. Or find an apartment building in New York City, in Washington, that makes it easy to get around the traffic because you can go right down to the basement and take the metro line. You're giving solutions to problems.
I keep on hearing being useful to the consumer.
Yeah.
And does it boil down to just that, just being useful and being able to find out more information so you can be that one-stop shop of information based on your particular consumer? Is that it?
I worked in state government for 14 years.
I am so sorry.
We got lots of phone calls. We got lots of people asking questions. They want answers, right?
Right.
If they're asking a search engine those questions, they want answers from them too. They want the briefest question that answers them best.
Very good.
Search engine can do that.
It's as simple as that. Bill, what would be a pro tip that you'd give to us, to our audience today?
Start out with the page and think about all the things that are missing in it, all the people, all the statements. Look at similar pages on the same subject that cover different things and ask, why do they have this topic? Who else has this topic? Who else writes about it? Which is a better source of information? Let's look at a lot of pages about the same topic and see what they all cover. Mm-hmm. What things tend to show up most? Where's my version of that? Where's my answer?
Got to look at the gaps. Very good. Very good. Well, is there anything that we can promote for you? You've certainly done well for us, and we certainly appreciate you coming back the third time. What can we promote for you right now?
I spend a lot of time on Twitter. I try to come up with new things there, answer questions, and so on. It's fun. I blog a bunch at SEO by the Sea and Go Fish Digital, and I'm trying to come up with new approaches to things. I see patents. Sometimes I'll break down all the sources of information in those patents and link to where they come from, where all the citations are from, to provide more information about those. The best patent I come across is one that raises the most questions. The one that makes me look at it and say, how can I test this?
Yes. You kind of start looking at what the next future is and try to, you got an interesting position because you're continually trying to put the pieces together, and deliberately so. They're patent submitting things that I have very narrow descriptions and concepts, but you're putting the puzzle together for us, Bill, and we certainly do appreciate it. So thanks so much on what you're doing, and we wish you all the best in the world for shining light regularly for us in SEO. Truly do appreciate it.
For the fun.
Absolutely.
It's like having a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle and having no idea what's behind the curtain.
You have no idea what the picture is.
Yeah.
And they're all colored blue. Well, you know what? Enjoy your Friday. Enjoy your weekend. Certainly, go out to the beach and dip your toe out there, because we're certainly happy with everything that you provide for us, and feel that you have a job well done communicating to our SEO community. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
You're more than welcome. More than welcome. Want to make sure that you follow Bill on Twitter at Bill_Slosky, as well as go over to LinkedIn. You find him, Bill Slosky, or just IN/Slosky, S-L-A-W-S-K-I. Watch Bill as he's continually providing I mean, these blog posts are deep reads and deep analysis into different patents that are being submitted regularly. And we certainly welcome our audience to go check out all of Bill's content out there. So we're certainly going to put all the links inside of our show notes, but we do want to thank him for his time today. All right, please don't forget to like and subscribe to Edge of the Web on YouTube. And if you're really feeling up to it today, drop us a quick review on iTunes. Let us know how we did on this show in particular, because this was a proud moment for us to be able to unpack these key concepts into the future of SEO. Thanks to our sponsor, Site Strategics. And be sure to check out all the must-see videos and much more of the insider information over at edgeofthewebradio.com. That's edgeofthewebradio.com. Remember, from all of us, be safe, be well, and do not be a piece of cyber driftwood. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.